If you will, turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we've started a series of messages on the worship of our Lord God Almighty, and we preached about how to Him only it is due. And last time, last Sunday, we touched on this about worship and sacrifice, and this first mention in the Scriptures regarding worship or the use of the word worship is there in Genesis 22 when Brother Abraham was told by the Lord to take Isaac up and sacrifice him. And Abraham, knowing this, commanded of the Lord for him to do so. He pursued it without fail, without falter. He just went right on in that. And as he leaves the young men, the servants, his folks in his household that went with them, he said, "The lad and I are going to go on yonder, and we're going to go there and worship." And of course, in that account there in Genesis 22, we see and know about the prophetic words of Brother Abraham, and that God will provide Himself a lamb. And we talked about that and the twofold meaning that we see in that. And then also how the ram was there provided by the Lord, and Abraham did sacrifice. The Lord had given him that ram. It wasn't of his flock back home, but Brother Abraham is used to worshiping the Lord, and how in worship, indeed, it is tied to, and that there is worship and sacrifice. Mentioned and talked about the giving of our time. You could have chosen to be somewhere else this morning and today, but we give of our time. We don't use it for ourselves. Of course, if our hearts are right and we understand this teaching from the Lord, we know that we do well benefit in worship. But it is from the way of the world and the way of man. There is a cost, a sacrifice in worship. And it's interesting in the Scriptures how this shows up and is revealed. I've never seen this in this way before, to understand that there is worship in sacrifice and to our Lord. Many things the Scripture says about it. Also, last Sunday we observed the Lord's Supper. And because of the sacrifice of the Lord, we do worship Him, don't we? And so, yes, we do sacrifice, but our Lord sacrifices in giving His Son for us. The Lord Jesus, as a man, gave all in being a man, and all that there was in being a man, He gave that all for our sakes. And we worship Him because of His sacrifice for us, too. Here in Exodus chapter 12, there are other references in the book of Genesis and even earlier in the book of Exodus about worship, but this about a worship in regards to sacrifice, I find this to be in Exodus 12, the next occurrence of this. Not make much comment about it, but just want to read the passage here. In Exodus chapter 12, verse number 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep and from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Verse 8, "And they shall eat the flesh in the night, in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. And Brother Doug's been talking about and started this morning dealing with there in Matthew 7, verse 1, about the judgment of the Lord and facets of judgment. The Lord made a judgment in this day regarding the gods of the land of Egypt. You know what that means? The gods of Egypt, they are nothing, and we're to have nothing to do with them in any way. That's the judgment of the Lord. And so for us and everyone. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. That's given to the Jews. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. A serious thing. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, a meeting together to worship. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation, shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread, until the 1 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out now and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according to as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Listen. Verse 27, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. So the Lord gives here about the Passover. He tells about in the future how it's going to be about the 7 days of unleavened bread to be observed forever amongst the Jews. He tells about the lamb and the way to prepare it and the catching of the blood and this putting of the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. And then when he sees the blood, he says, I will pass over you. He gives this about how it will be in the future when they arrive in the land. And, of course, they're not going to arrive in the land for 40 years or so. And so, but he gives all that for future instruction. Brother Moses takes this and he gives them understanding about how to accomplish it and the taking of the hyssop and putting that, using that in the bowl to catch the blood and such. How they're not to go outside until morning, until they're commanded to go out. And then to the answer to the children. The answer to those that don't know or to the ignorant and understand about being ignorant, to not know is not criminal to not know. Okay? Being ignorant is willful ignorance is one thing, but when we don't know, we need to learn. Okay? And when those that know need to teach those that don't know, okay, as we have been taught, because at one time we didn't know. And so the Lord makes this provision and says, in the future, your children are going to ask, what's this all about? What's this all about? And he said, review it with them and tell about how the Lord gave mighty deliverance unto the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we observe this every year to remember that, to remember how the Lord delivered us out of bondage in Egypt. And so when all this was given, and this was first given unto the people, what's it say there in verse 27? The people bowed the head and worshiped. And in verse number 28, they went and did it. They didn't hesitate, but they went and put up the lamb. Hear this about the Passover. They had to sacrifice. They had to take the time to do something different commanded by the Lord. They had to take the lamb and put up the spotless lamb, observe it for a handful of days, and then kill it. Oh, they got to eat it. They didn't get to eat it the way that they would normally prepare it, in the best way that they would want. They had to do it what God said. They had to make a sacrifice. They had to sacrifice their will, their lamb, their time, the way that they wanted to do things normally. Well, normally we probably eat supper about 5, 6 p.m. But no, not this night. It's going to be later. And then they had to be all dressed. Well, we might eat supper more comfortably. But the Lord said, no, have your staff in your hand, shoes on your feet, and be ready to walk out. No leaven in the bread. Who doesn't like fluffy yeast rolls with butter dripping down the sides of them? Right? Make your mouth water, doesn't it? But the Lord said, no, unleavened. No leaven in it. Not pleasant. Very utilitarian. It would provide for the nourishment. But no leaven. No pleasantness about it. Bitter herbs with the lamb. And the people, when they received this, and then as they did it, they worshiped in the command of the Lord in this sacrifice that they made in obeying the Lord regarding the sacrifice ultimately of the Lord, whom we worship regarding. Amen? And so the Passover, very, very interesting how that is. We come over here to Deuteronomy chapter 26, Brother Moses preaching unto the children of Israel. Here a handful of messages, 2-3 messages can be argued in this. These words he gives here. Let's read these. And in Deuteronomy 26, verse number 10, and now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou, and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. What the Lord's given here is for the worship of the Lord of the first fruits, something that's done in the fall at the harvest. And, of course, there's some of that early on in the spring harvest. There's a spring harvest of grain, and then there's a fall harvest of other things. And the Lord's laying this out here for the children of Israel and instructs them that they will take of the first. And the Lord even gives instruction that they won't eat of the first of the new crop until the men go to Jerusalem and take that first fruits offering to appear before the Lord and give it. They're connected with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's that waving of the sheaf and such as that for the spring offering and of that. Worship and sacrifice. The first. You know, when you get that, what is it that you like? The tomato or the cucumber or the pepper? The strawberries, the berries that come on? I tell you what, there's just something really, really good about the first ones. When the first taste of the new growing. But the Lord says, sacrifice that to me. Sacrifice that to me. Worship and sacrifice. Well, we have the great privilege of taking what our Lord has blessed us with, because He's given us everything, and to take some of that the first of it, as we're called to tithe, something that's been for the big beginning for mankind. We are to take of the first of what the Lord profits us and give it to the Lord. And we do in this day with tithes, as Brother Abraham did, no doubt as Brother Adam did, taking the first of what we're profited by the Lord and giving that back into the Lord in worship of Him. It's very, very interesting. In Hebrews chapter 10, worship and sacrifice. To worship the Lord, we've got to turn from our normal, natural, pursuit within ourselves. I read some introductory verses into you at the beginning of these messages. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Let me just insert this here. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It's a holy thing to worship a holy, a thrice holy God. He is to be worshipped, and we can be involved in that. We've been instructed in that, to worship the King, to praise Him and glorify Him. We're going to see about so many ways and aspects and facets of our life that we're to do so. But this in sacrifice. This in sacrifice. Now, you're not growing calves and raising calves and sheep and pigeons and stuff like that at home and to bring those sacrifices. We don't bring those animal sacrifices. It's not for us to do. It was for the Jews and a shadow, a type of what Christ would come and do. But we do yet worship by sacrifice unto our Lord today. And you know what? I think I think the greatest, as we'll see, the greatest sacrifice that we bring, and all are in their place. We can never take one and say, well, I do this, therefore I will not this. No, all are there. All of our ability and capability is required of us. That's what we have. What we've been given, what we are able to do, we are to do. But the greatest sacrifice that we give is that sacrifice of self. That sacrifice of self unto our Lord, which in time we will see. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, let's read here. And listen to this, a handful of verses. Hebrews, the greatest commentary on the Old Testament. It will help us to bring the Old Testament to our day, to this church age, and how it connects to everything that we have in our Lord Jesus. In Hebrews 10, verse number 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. You know how it is with the shadow. The shadow is not the real thing. The real thing casts a shadow. That's in the shadow is where the law is at. The ceremonial and sacrificial law. The moral law. And that we need that kept, but we can't keep it ourselves. We need someone to keep it for us. Christ has done that. And that imputed righteousness from our Lord Jesus given unto us in salvation. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, hear that, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. The sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, the money sacrifices that the Jews offered couldn't make them whole. Can't make us whole. That's the reason that it's foolish, this movement, this thing that's in our day. And even folks that say they're saved and claim to be Baptists would pursue after this Messianic Jew thing. We have something better than that. Our Lord is giving us something more full and more rich than that. To go back to observe that when we're not even Jews, it's just we learn from it and we see it. But understand, those things couldn't do it. And Christ is the one that did so. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. There was never an end to them for the Jew, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. See what he said there? The worshipers. They worshipped as they offered. They obeyed the Lord and worshiped Him in that obedience. They obeyed the Lord in that sacrifice of something they had been given, but they took that and they obeyed the Lord and gave it and directed it in that. They gave it up in tribute and honor and worship unto the Lord. They were worshiping. Oh, we are still worshiping today, aren't we? And let's read on here. He said, the law is a shadow of good things to come. The sacrifices offered every year continually could not save us. Otherwise, they would have ceased. Because the worshipers, once purged, have had no more conscience of sins. But see, the conscience of sins, what it's talking about, we've got to come back next year. I got to come back next year. I got to have the priests do the same thing for me next year. And from the standpoint of the Jews, they would come and they would offer the sacrifice and the things that were commanded of them. The men would appear before the Lord three times a year. And then they would say, well, okay, I'm waiting on the next time in a few months here. I've got to be back. The annual atonement, where the priest would go in the seventh month to offer the annual atonement for himself and for the people. Well, 359 days to go for the Jew. He's going to have to come back. It never would accomplish it. Okay? And they were worshiping. Okay? But listen to what it says here. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh, that is the Lord, into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He talks about of the physical to accomplish the salvation, but a body for sacrifice thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure of the physical. Then said I, the Lord Jesus, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said earlier in the passage, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast no pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will, O God. The sacrificing of self-will to obey the Lord and his will. Worship and sacrifice. I tell you what, our Lord Jesus was filled up with it. He was filled up with the will of the Father and not his own will. And as part of the Trinity, it was his will. But as a man, when he came, he surrendered his will and pursued the will of the Father. He sacrificed his will, if you will, to that of the Father. To do thy will, O God. Verse 9. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away. Let's back up here. Let me get the whole thought. When he backs up, it's quite of a long stretch. Verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, that of the animals, but a body hast thou prepared me, Christ declares. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. It's not completed. It's not accomplished. It's not brought it to an end, it said earlier. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above, verse 8, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering for an offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast had pleasure therein, which were offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the Old Testament, that he might may establish the second, the New Testament, in his blood. By the which will we are sanctified, set apart through the offering, the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies shall be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One sacrifice. And again, as we mentioned earlier, because of that sacrifice, we yet worship him. We sacrifice and worship our Lord in self-sacrifice. But then our Lord's self-sacrifice causes us to worship him yet even more and more and more. What a wondrous thing, the worship of our Lord God Almighty. We have much to praise and worship our Lord for. To tell these things to our children, to tell these things unto our family, to tell these things about our Lord and what He's done, to worship Him even into His even in just the singleness of being alone with our God, to praise His name for what He has done for you, for me, to worship Him, indeed. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever, made mature in him, saved and redeemed, perfected forever them that are sanctified, set apart. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us, for after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. And we've touched upon that in recent times, how the Lord in that Old Testament had this interspersed telling about a better way and what the Lord would ultimately do, not what the shadow was, but what the true was in Christ. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission, payment, sacrifice of these is, there is no more offering for sin. It's the only way sins can be forgiven is by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Himself, by the sacrifice of God, the sacrifice of His Son. Abraham declared it indeed, didn't he? God will provide Himself a lamb. And He did. And He did. Oh, you that are here and not saved, we point you to our Lord Jesus. He's the sacrifice that you need. The sacrifices, and indeed, to follow what the Lord says in His Word will yield a better and a more peaceful life in this world. But I tell you what, you need the salvation of your soul through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, that you might well be able in Him, and because of Him, be able to sacrifice and worship our Lord. We are to glorify and worship our Lord, all of us. But to truly and eternally do so, we need that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus applied to our hearts, our souls, and our sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look what he says, and I trust and I pray that this might bring more weight and help in tying this thought together and these words that are here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, as the apostle deals with the church there at Corinth about some public sin that they had of the membership in the church that they had not dealt with, as he speaks this to this about the keeping of the Lord's Supper and the observance of the Lord's Supper, he says in verse number 7, listen to these words, purge out therefore the old leaven. And it smacks of Passover, doesn't it? That ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, without sin. Okay? We know we do sin in this flesh. We know we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We know that He will forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from our unrighteousness, our sins, as His children. But from the standpoint of the way the Father looks on the children of God, Christ's righteousness is, we are robed in that, and He sees His Son. And before God Almighty, from the eternal standpoint and the soul standpoint, we are unleavened. We have His Spirit living within us. We have been saved. We have the new man that sins not. We're unleavened. We need to know that and remember that. This church had forgotten that. They thought that it was okay for some of their members to dabble in those things, even to the point of public showcasing of wickedness and sin. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so we being Gentiles even, we do have a Passover that is found in Christ. Because of Christ, when God sees Him and His righteousness, it's His blood, His sacrifice for us, He has and indeed does pass over us in judgment and condemnation, eternal judgment and condemnation for sin. being separated from God and such. He says he is our Passover and is sacrificed for us. And again, in that, because of that, we worship him, don't we? And then in observing the Lord's Supper, not our way, but his way, we worship him, don't we? We have to sacrifice will. We have to sacrifice better thoughts and better things that we think we have. And we obey him. And when we obey him, even in that observance of the Lord's Supper, we worship our Lord. We worship him in obedience. We worship him in remembering our Lord's death. We worship him in the value that we have in our hearts of the salvation that our Lord Jesus has brought us. We cherish him. And we praise God for him in that. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast. You know, we don't have any feast to observe. We don't have the feast of unleavened bread. We don't have the feast of tabernacles to observe. We like to keep the holiday of Thanksgiving. I think that's good. I think that's appropriate. And we do feast at that time. And that the blessing, rejoicing in the blessing of the Lord. But here, in regards to this, of the Lord's Supper, he said, Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, getting back, or wickedness, sinfulness, and that which is against God, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Lord Jesus said that we can only worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And see, rather than making our own truth, rather than making our own judgment, as Brother Doug brought out this morning, we worship our Lord when we sacrifice our ideas and our will and our own thinking and our opinion and bring into our lives and our hearts what he says. And in that we worship him. Again, back to obedience, it is. And so what a blessing. What a wonder that it is, how this is all interconnected. Worship, the worship of our Lord God Almighty, and worship and sacrifice. A few verses for you. I'll read them to you here as we close. Psalm 116:17. Listen, I will offer thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalm 141:2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We've got to take time away to pray unto our Lord. Not take time and use for ourselves, but sacrifice that time unto the Lord. To worship him in prayer. Like it was in the days of old when the Jews would burn, like Brother Zechariah there in the temple that it tells us about in the Gospels. In Luke, as he was there and had the charge of burning incense, our prayers, our incense, and as the evening sacrifice unto our Lord. Romans 12:1, we'll come back and touch on it again, but it says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And we worship him when we do that. We don't yield to self, but we yield to him and what he wants, and we take and use our physical person to praise him, to serve him, to worship him. With our mouths and with our hearts and coming to services and in our personal time at home. May God help us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Philippians 2:16-18. Holding forth the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain. He's charging those there at Philippi. Neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Well, what's Paul talking about? If my ministry and the sacrifice of my life to this calling, not what I want to do, but what the Lord would have me to do, which is now what I want to do, Paul speaking. If my ministry and my calling of the Lord and the using up of my life will cause you to abound and to grow and for those to be saved and that, to God be the glory. Worshiping him in the use of life to the edification, to the witness, to the salvation, to the bringing of the Word of God unto others. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. He says, I rejoice in that. To worship the Lord in the sacrifice of self for the sake of reaching you, touching you, encouraging you, and being used of the Lord to cause you to joy, to grow and to rejoice. In Philippians 4:18, in the same book, but I have all and abound. The apostle speaking, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. There were those by brother Epaphroditus that had sent things. They gave them up that the brother might carry them to the apostle Paul and his troop with him. They sacrificed those things. They gave them up. They didn't use them for self. But they gave them for the brother and for his ministry and his call. It was a sacrifice unto God. And in that they worshiped the Lord. The call of the brother, the Lord's call upon the brother and the work that he's called them to. It's like with missionaries. And we give that their need might be met so they can be there to do it. We worship the Lord in that sacrifice, in that giving. Indeed. And in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16, by him, therefore, Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, not praise of self, not praise to others in the world, but praise with our time, which is our most valuable commodity, the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Not to thank ourselves, but to thank God, our Lord, for what he's done, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased, and indeed is worshipped. He's worshipped in that. Worship. What is worship? That's what we're in search of to understand. Worship and sacrifice. And lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, church, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, to worship our Lord with the sacrifice of all that is within us. Worship and sacrifice. How are we doing? How are you doing? How am I doing? May we consider our worship of the Lord. May we consider, do I give in the worship of the Lord? Do I sacrifice of self and of me and of mine for the worship of the Lord? May the Lord help us indeed.